then we can kind of combine it with tax increment and do some exciting things. And there was discussion with Commissioner Adams' office about the ideas of green streets and those and pilot projects. So we're going to hope to move forward with some of those things over the next 12 to 18 months. We are also having a strong focus in this area on investing in small businesses, which, you know, Aaron Flynn can talk about as well as we get into those issues later today.
So and we're cleaning up a big brownfield with BES. Going on what, Halsey? Thank you, Ankeny. It's how big is it? It's big.
A little over 2 acres.
Yep. It'll unlock redevelopment opportunities.
Good. So let's move on to the next district, which is Interstate. And what you're going to notice, you know, you try and learn from one district to another what works, what doesn't work, what are the dynamics in terms of resources that you have available. And with Interstate, you know, it's also essentially a neighborhood-based district. And in 07-08, it's generating over $9 million in increment. Think back to Gateway, it's generating $2 million. And you'll see the growth since 03-04 in the district from 3 to over $9 million, which, you know, some of it's definitely related to light rail and the catalyst that it provides in terms of redevelopment opportunities. A lot of it, though, also, and we were asked to look at this with during the budget work group discussions, you know, over the rest of this year, shouldn't really take that long, to say that why is Interstate generating $9 million when Gateway, you know, generates two, and what can you learn from it to try and apply to Gateway? One of the differences, and it may just be it, is that Interstate's 3,800 acres, and Gateway is, you know, 658 or whatever it was. So is it the sheer size alone and kind of a 3% uptick in property values, or is it something that we're doing or some other kind of dynamic? It's got a $24.5 million budget this year, and there's still $275 million in indebtedness remaining. So actually, Interstate is poised to do some really exciting things and have resources to actually address them. Over the next year or so, we're going to continue to focus on our community livability grant program, which is something that was put together by a number of people, including Kate Dean at PDC, which really provides some neat opportunities for some very small projects. I think it's $25,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 grants to do some things that the community wants done. And PDC staff and others designed a really neat program and competition. And people are seeing results of that because it's not a 9-year redevelopment project. There's immediate benefits. I mean, I think I'd parallel it to the storefront improvement program where people see how PDC and tax increment and the city can really improve their neighborhoods, you know, literally overnight. The other thing we're focusing on is continuing to do development and investment in downtown Kenton. We're going to be looking at leveraging some non-TIF resources for the Bridgeton Trail. And Interstate is also one of the URAs where we've been working with the Housing Authority of Portland to buy some scattered home sites that they have and refurbish the home, clean them up. If there's environmental issues, take care of those and use that as a vehicle for increasing first-time home buyers and home ownership and building equity for Portlanders. So I will pause there to the extent that there's questions with Interstate.
Well, I did have a question. I was asking previously about the Willamette URA. Mm-hmm. You said it covered all of Swan Island.
He said that.
It appears that the Interstate URA does the same thing.
I think they connect up right there.
Right. They
look at the.
So it is the Interstate has that part, and then the rest
exactly.
is covered by Willamette.
Yes, Mayor.
Okay.
So the. One of the things I'd be interested in having the commission look at is the possibility and whether it's legal to jump over like the Willamette and have a portion of Hayden Island covered by the Interstate URA, sort of compact. The owners of the Jansen Beach have decided that they are going to look at mixed use instead of just a big box, moving around the big boxes. So there might be some new opportunities for increment out there.
I want to talk about that for a second. One of the things that we're doing with Interstate over the next year or so is, you know, it was created back in 2000. Like we said, we're starting to see some progress. PDC is going to work with other bureaus in the community to say, let's update what we want to see get done and out in this district. One of the other things that's related to it is when we get into the Oregon Convention Center urban renewal area, is that district's more at the tail end of both its resources and, you know, the life of the plan. And similar to downtown waterfront, where we knew that Old Town Chinatown clearly isn't done just because the downtown waterfront expires, there's still a lot of need, and there's actually a lot of momentum along MLK. And what's the best way to address those needs? Is it through tax increment, not through tax increment? Is it interstate? So, you know, if it is interstate, then how would that also relate to possibly your Hayden Island piece? I just wanted to give you the context for it. So let's move on to the Lentz urban renewal area. So with Lentz, and we'll be getting into much greater detail with the council on Lentz on June 18th and June 25th when we bring a plan amendment forward that expands the geography of the area and takes the So this slide here kind of shows the gray areas of how we're going to expand the Lentz urban renewal area to take some pieces around the periphery of it and then
connect. Page 30 on the presentation.
Connect, turn, got it? And then also basically run Lentz along Foster, connecting it to 49th, so we bring in some strategic areas in the commercial corridor so we can help small businesses, Marysville School, a lot of other opportunities around there. We're talking with Multnomah County about it tomorrow, and we look forward to their support in trying to help an area of the city that definitely needs tax increment. So right now, you know, Lentz, which was created in 1998, took a while to get it going, but you're seeing over $7 million now available for investment, which is fantastic for that district, and there's a lot of really exciting things that are going on right now. The next slide kind of just shows the growth from $4 million up over $7 million in 07, 08 over the last 4 or 5 years. Yes, it is. And this slide shows that, again, it's only this next fiscal year, but there's 18.6 or so million in tax increment available this coming year. With the amendment, you know, it's going to kick it up to $25 million. And it might be more than that. I think this number I haven't updated in a month or so. But it's going to bring more resources. And you look over the next 5 years, and it brings a lot more. And we're going to need that amendment. We're going to need taking the maximum indebtedness at $75 million and increasing it by probably another $150 or $170 million to be able to get at projects like freeway lands and to be able to get at projects. Right now, we're having a lot of success working with Guardian Management, who recently won an award for affordable housing on the new Copper Penny site, and trying to find ways to bring housing and some commercial services there. We're looking into grocery store opportunities, which Lentz has been wanting for a long time. Maybe it's that site. Maybe it's another site across the street where we just purchased a, I guess you'd call it a some type of retail club. Entertainment. Yes, entertainment establishment.
And
we do.
Oh, you're the owner.
Okay. Yeah, but we're not. Yeah, well, so yeah, so we own it, and you know, there's some other parcels in the area, and I think if you combine those, you maybe, you know, get rid of a street, you create a super parcel, and there can be a lot of exciting things happening in Lentz. Go ahead.
Well, just you're happy with that person. I just am really concerned that the gentrification coming with light rail opening, that we try to secure as much strategic pieces of land. It doesn't necessarily mean we need to own big swaths, but enough, you know, land in the right places that we can then make deals with developers around mixed-use development, stationary planning, affordable housing, those kinds of things. So I would say being aggressive on land acquisition makes a lot of sense right now.
And we're actually with you know, a team of Amy Miller Dowell and Justin Douglas and Byron Estes and Carl Dinkelspiel and others. As we sat down and talked with them the other day, and they are going aggressively on land purchase. The Lentz Little League site, huge opportunity for mixed use. There's some station area sites, and there's some owners now that are willing to talk that maybe didn't want to talk before. So
where?
If you look to the north of, north of New Copper Penny, there's some land in there, probably giving away secrets
business.
I'm not supposed to give away.
I'm sorry?
The what?
The old businesses that are there?
Yeah, there's some businesses. There's some people that, you know, own houses. People are seeing the success of, Assurity and others and seeing the area grow. And so we're trying to go in there and buy a property to be able to do projects that people want to see happen without, you know, displacement. And then also in this district, similar to Interstate. There's a HAP scattered sites as well. So we're buying multiple homes. I think it might be 10 or 11 in this one that we'll be buying from them, fixing up, and then using to advance the homeownership initiatives that we have.
Can you give us a sense of, 80 acres of industrial land owned by a single owner is pretty unique in the city. What's been the discussion among staff and the commission in terms of the future of that?
The freeway land site. Well, as you see in our document, we identified as that as one of the strategic sites. The board has said we need to work with the property owners and then ultimately the community on what that area should look like. And the really good news is we have property owners that aren't willing to – they aren't ready to redevelop it tomorrow. They're actually very patient and would like to work with us. And so it was a joint effort involving the Bureau of Planning, parks, Bureau of Environmental Services, and ourselves, that we got a team looking at that area to determine what would be the best type of really strategic and catalytic types of uses that could be put on that property that could benefit that area now but also into the near future. And we had counted on it as being a very large employment center. There's a lot of other ideas out there, too, but we're not prepared to talk about those yet, but I just want you to know that the dialogue is going on and the property owners are very, very cooperative with us.
Is that Walsh?
That's right.
Under the freeway lands, what is the acreage out there?
Mayor, it's about 100 acres total. I think it's a little over 100 acres. There's about, I think, about 30 acres or so of that, which is really in the floodplain or needs to be a conservation area. But so that means there's a good 65 acres or so that really is available for redevelopment. I mean, and if you look at the size of that parcel, if you look at the south waterfront, the central district, which is about 30 acres, you can get an idea about the magnitude of what could be done on that site. So it's pretty exciting, and it's pretty amazing. And as you point out, Commissioner Adams, really the land is fairly undervalued in that area right now, and so we need to take advantage of that as much as we can now.
In terms of a vision or a master plan or whatever it is, what's your sense of how is it years, a couple of years?
I think in 6 months we'll have an idea what at least the bureaus think would be a good solution, but then we need to engage the property owners some more and probably talk with the neighborhood. So it probably is a year and a half or so. And planning, if you ask them, they've mapped it out a bit more in terms of the timing, but it's clearly at least a two-phase process.
Okay. Move on to the blank slide. Hang on a second. We'll move on to the Central East Side. So, again, this is a district that was created back in 1986. It hasn't seen, you know, the increment growth of a lot of the other downtown districts. There's a number of reasons for it, but some of it has to do with buildings that used to be in private ownership now being in public ownership. That's probably one of the biggest. And it has about $4.6 million a year to invest in projects. It releases 4.1. So the 4.1 is what it was generating back in 1986. you look at the growth over the last 4 or 5 years, and like I mentioned, there isn't a lot of it. This district is it was recently amended, I think 2 years ago by City Council. So we increased the length of life that we can issue debt, and the debt was pushed up to $105 million. Next year, there's about 16 and a half. And one of the focuses are on infrastructure. So you'll see in the budget a lot of resources going to the streetcar, resources going to the Burnside-Cooch couplet. You'll see an emphasis on economic development and an effort to grow green and creative industries down in that area, which seem to kind of be the natural foothold as the existing industrial begins to evolve. And in some cases, the zoning down there, I think planning has or will be, they have already been putting in a little bit more flexible zoning to allow more light industrial, you know, whether that means an architecture firm or those kinds of companies. And one of the things we're going to need to talk about clearly with this group today and tomorrow is the resource issues. When we worked with the budget work group again in February, we're noticing after this next fiscal year, you know, actually a deficit. And the deficit's there predominantly because, you know, there's a lot of demands. Projects like Burnside Bridgehead have not gone as hoped in terms of the timing. And with the economy slipping, you know, more than just a little bit, we don't have in the Central East Side that, you know, as Chair Rosenbaum talked about, that big tax increment generating project. We were hoping Burnside Bridgehead would be it. There's the possibility, but it will take a while, you know, or Washington Monroe could possibly be it. And that's a really significant emphasis. PDC recently paid down, the note that was outstanding on behalf of the city in order to get a hold of a big chunk of that property and to help parks get in a position to do a community center. And then the neighborhoods naturally want to see, you know, retail and, you know, market rate housing. And they really want to see that, 7-acre site become kind of a hub for the neighborhood and an exciting hub, not just a hub that attracts a bunch of automobiles every day. So we're hoping that projects like the streetcar will accelerate the growth of increment more than currently as anticipated, but we're not seeing it move that much above the 4.5 that it is right now. And I'll pause because I know we're going to have to come back to this because I know Commissioner Adams has some items that he wants to talk about specifically related to some projects in the area and the budget in that area.
So the status of the Burnside Bridgehead right now is what?
Just a few months ago, the developer decided that they no longer really felt that they could pursue the project, so we no longer have an agreement with them for exclusive development of that site. Our board and we have decided we'll wait a few months through the summer and take another look at what we ought to be doing there, whether we ought to entertain some exclusive negotiations with some people who want it right now or do another proposal. But I think we want to make sure whatever we're doing, the timing and the market's right, and we're not actually competing with ourselves and other things we have going in other parts of the city. So it's a very important project and critical to the, in terms of the tax generation in that particular area, as Keith had identified.
Are there others that want to have exclusive negotiations, or is that just?
There's others that have expressed some interest in doing that. And again, our board decided, I think we want to step back for a minute, just take a look at the market, and then determine how we go. And that clearly is an option.
And did I miss it? Are these the six projects that you have listed for the Central East Side, are those prioritized by their numbers, or are they just all equal in terms of importance? There are six projects
on the map.
84 of the map, listing the six Central East Side projects. And with what is the budget for the coming year is 8.8 is what's been approved.
Just a minute.
We have on the Central East Side.
Turn to page 85, the next page.
14. There's about $16.6 million for the 08-09 proposed budget. I think what you're seeing there, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, is just kind of six notable projects. They're not necessarily ranked from 1 to 6 in order of importance.
Well, I was going by this sheet, too. Okay. This sheet has different numbers on it. This sheet has actually over $7 million removed.
Right.
And I'm just wondering what, you know, that looks like there's going to be about $8.9 million left for investment. How do you allocate those funds amongst those six projects? What's most important? What are the timelines, for instance, on the east side streetcar loop? But it seemed to me, as I remember early on, is that a lot hinged on the Burnside Bridgehead development, that was going to be sort of the area that's going to be developed in order to generate the TIF money to pay for some of the other's amenities. That's not happened. How many years out is that now? X3 to 5 plus?
That's at the earliest. Yeah.
But wasn't also the Burnside Cooch couplet contingent upon the Bridgehead development?
No.
Well, it was the Bridgehead development wanted to see Burnside Cooch and streetcar.
Well, there's two. One is the East Side Loop, and the other one is the Burnside Cooch couplet on the east side. I know that our congressional delegation has been, Blumenauer in particular, has been trying to allocate funds for that project. But I'm wondering if there's something that is going to be held up as a result of this decrease in revenue for the east side. Is, you know, in terms of first things first, what's the first thing that needs to go in order for the rest of it to be attractive? If the east side, if the Cooch couplet, Cooch Burnside couplet was required for the Bridgehead development, it seemed like then that would have been first, except you have these other projects too, like the east side light rail or streetcar.
Remember the Burnside Cooch couplet being required for the Bridgehead?
Well, I think the mayor is actually correct that the developers of the Burnside Bridgehead project felt that the Burnside Cooch couplet was integral to their success in terms of the development of that project.
That was presented here. That was one of the first presentations. That was presented before the Burnside Bridgehead was ever even discussed.
Well, that's before me then. So.
Well, it was in 2003, like January 2003, when the council adopted that plan.
And so we believe the Burnside Cooch project, the couplet cod project, is really integral to a whole bunch of redevelopment opportunities in that area. And needless to say, also correcting some rather severe traffic safety problems. But your question, Mayor, is the right question in this district because it is strapped. And we have to be strategic and we have to prioritize these investments. And I think we're planning to get to that a bit more here as we get into that. But I think we'd also like to see Commissioner Adams, because he has a couple of his projects that you talk about,
yes,
that are integral to this financial plan.
Well, and also the two projects on the Washington Monroe site, the community center. So, how long then does it mean for those communities there to wait for that next stage of development for the community center?
I mean, one of the things, you know. Let's be clear, with our budget and what we committed to the community with when we did the extension was focusing on securing that land so parks wouldn't have to sell any surplus properties in order to buy it back. So we put that into place, and then the actual community center project is something that is not yet. Do you want to speak to it?
The actual cost of the community center is going to be $20, $30 million. And I think, you know, there will be some tax increment contribution, we hope, over the future, but I think also it's going to take approval by voters of a general obligation bond measure that would, you know, could include the Southeast Community Center as well as other capital needs for parks.
When we're discussing the Central East Side, in terms of priorities, they listed six projects that they're working on, including the Cooch couplet, Burnside Cooch couplet, the Bridgehead, the streetcar, the PG. Two projects at Washington Monroe. And I was asking, well, what has to happen first in order for us to accelerate the increase in property taxes to create the TIF money to do these things? And I still wait. So
So let's do this. We've got, you know, I'm just kind of fronting through the overview of each one of the districts, and Tony's had by his side the adjustments, which speak directly to your comment, Mayor, about, yeah, this proposed budget says one number. We know that it's going to be different, and why don't we actually talk about that now? Why don't we focus on the Central East side, talk about what needs to come out of the budget given the bridgehead, and update what we know about different projects and what actions might need to occur before this budget ever becomes approved?
Yeah. So you have before you two documents. One's listed as Exhibit A, which has the total appropriations for PDC, both in the proposed budget and the recommended approved budget. That's the document you were looking at, Mayor.
Yes.
And this is the supporting document that actually
is
details.
Is this Exhibit A?
This is the supporting document to Exhibit A that shows detailed changes that are being recommended.
Okay. I'm just wondering. It doesn't say Exhibit A on here,
no,
so it's
this is
this one here?
Yeah, right. That's what you were reading from earlier.
Right.
Okay.
So you can see for Central East side on Exhibit A, a proposed budget number, I think it's roughly around $14 million in expenditures in total. But there's a number of decreases in the recommended approved budget. We're looking at, based on project timing of the Burnside Creech Couplet and the Bridgehead project, moving those appropriations into future fiscal years in the five-year plan. The total change is approximately, looks like, $8.5 million that we're looking at decreasing appropriations. That doesn't mean we'll have additional resources next year to work with, but rather they'll be shifted to future fiscal years to spend on those priorities. The basic priorities that were established by the work group during the work group discussion are the same. It's just the timing of projects in this case.
The Bridgehead project, putting my hat on as transportation commissioner, there's a scope change in the couplet design from transportation's point of view that we don't have the resources to fill. So I just want to make sure that that's noted in the budget. We also, when PDOT in April of 06 set forth the various price tags for the couplet, gave estimates based on the start date. So inflation every year makes it more and more expensive. So is your estimating of expenditure costs keeping up with inflation?
Well, the current proposed budget has $3.6 million. That's listed on page 85 of the budget document for the Burnside Creech Couplet, and $6 million in 9-10, so a total of just short of $10 million between the two fiscal years. We're recommending, based on timing of the project, it looks like we're just going to be doing engineering next fiscal year so we can move those capital dollars out to 9-10, but it doesn't account for any increase.
Is this document supposed to support Exhibit A?
That's correct.
The numbers for Central East side are different on both documents.
The numbers...
One is 14 under this that's supporting it, but on the primary document, and this says proposed, and I assume proposed 2008, this document says 16,643, and I think that's on your, and this one is 14,642. That's the proposed, and then the change is, without my glasses on, is that 6.3?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
And this... The change there is -823, and this is -7747.
Yeah.
Where the numbers don't match. How come?
Well, those are PDC dollars, Mayor.
Is there something magic about that?
Yeah. Yes. Sure.
Well, what is the difference? I would just like to know for my own sake, as we're looking at these documents, they appear to be quite different.
Right. The net change in the budget is about $8.5 million. The difference between the totals or whether or not staffing and indirect costs are being included. In the supporting documentation, we're only looking at project dollars, specific direct project dollars. The total appropriation schedule on Exhibit A has a total budget plus contingency and any ending fund balance. the supporting schedules. This is specifically looking at hard project dollars.
This says it's total of by funds excluding staff and indirect costs.
That's right.
And is the staff and indirect costs listed on this one?
They're built into the department appropriations. That's correct.
Is there a reason why they do it that way? Because it's certainly confusing when you see two different sets of numbers. And I've not compared it to this other document to see if that's different.
So maybe another way to ask it is, in terms of what came out of the subcommittee, the director's office, emerging from staff and the commission for the Central East side, what is the priority? What should we be looking at as the projects that would move forward and how they would move forward in the next fiscal year? What should we look at?
The recommendation of projects would be the middle column on the supporting document called Recommended Approved Budget.
And this is the supporting document.
Yeah,
and it's that middle category? So
recommended changes to proposed budget or Exhibit A?
Recommended Approved Budget.
Oh.
Those project dollars are rolled into the appropriations for Exhibit A.
And do the red and the yellow highlight is significant? How?
Represents the projects that have changed since the proposed budget document. That's this document.
You've got red highlights on yours?
Yellow.
Yellow.
Did I say red? I meant yellow.
Yellow.
Sorry.
Okay. So these are the things that... there's obviously a large amounts of money not placed in there. I mean, it looks like it's the change is significant, for instance, on the Bridgehead project because there's no developer, right, at this point. Is that
right?
So why don't we just walk through the changes here?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that what we tried to do is highlight for you what we think would be the changes to bring this budget back into balance. Because your point is it's not in balance, and we knew that going into this discussion. And Commissioner Adams, I want to make sure that it does include the latest cost estimates, because that's one I can't answer that. But if you look at the Burnside-Cooch couplet, originally in this proposed document, shows $3.63 million for that project. We're saying let's only put in $200,000 for that project in the next fiscal year, 2008-2009, moving $3.4 million out to future years, and just 1 year back is what we're looking at.
Right.
All right? You following the logic of what I'm doing here?
Because we don't have it.
Because we don't have it. That's exactly right. We don't have the revenues. Going down, the next line item was changed was the Burnside Bridgehead relocation cost. And what we're looking at here is we need to actually have some money in there that wasn't spent this year moved into the budget for this year. That's actually an add, but it's no difference in cost because we thought we were going to spend that this year.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me there?
Mm-hmm.
On the third item, the Burnside Bridgehead development, that's the big one. You point out we're not ready to go. It may be a year or two before we're ready to go. So what we want to do is just continue to work to get that site finalized, you know, the clearing the site, getting it ready to go. But we only need $925,000. We don't need $6.4 million. So that can move out too. And then the last change in there was that before in the budget that was presented to the work group, there were no monies assigned to this for the IGA we have with planning to do the overall central city plan. We've since allocated those numbers to all of the URAs based on a percentage basis. You'd have to tell me what the rationale was, but we said we need to increase the allocation $72,000. But what that does is it takes almost $8.3 million and a little more out of next year's proposed budget for the Central East side and brings it in to balance. But I think that your question then, Commissioner Adams, is does this reflect the latest estimates on the Burnside-Cooch couplet project? And I'm not – I can't answer that now. Do we
– Yes, it does.
It does. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So my staff is saying it does.
Here.
Yeah. Very good. Bruce Allen. As Commissioner Adams knows, I think the latest cost estimate on the project is about $27.5 million, and the resources that we've identified have come up to about $24.5 million. So there's about a $3 million gap that staff has not identified yet.
So just to be clear, it's the $23 million cost is what PDOT gave you, and then the rest is the scope change.
The latest increase is a whole series of things, including inflation. I've got the list, so including inflation, there's a the 2% for art wasn't included, for example. Additional utility work resulting from the scope change. So,
the scope change is about, the scope change is from 3 to 4.25. So I just want to make sure that
we need to check that.
That we're singing off the same song sheet here. Because we gave, in April 06, we gave you a $23 million estimate for starting the project a year from now. We gave you 5 increments over 5 years of what we could do the project for. And so the scope change, the reason I'm bringing up the scope change is now that we don't have Opus as the developer, you might or might not want to go back to, you might or might not want to pursue the scope change in the couplet, a way to save money.
Okay. So we will further check on that. But the intent was, Mayor and members of the Budget Committee, was to say this is what we need to do in each one of these areas to true up the budget based on the latest information we have or the latest projections of revenues in individual URAs. Is that making sense now, Mayor?
In a way, I'm wondering, though, about specific to the couplet. Wasn't there some money that was allocated, or was it never allocated from the feds that Blumenauer is going to provide for the couplet?
I think it came in less than he was. Where's Mark?
It's 4.6 or 4.8 million.
We'll get back an informed answer. He pursued an amount of money that we didn't get entire. We didn't get all
but
of what he pursued.
That's not part of this. These are strictly PDC funds.
Right, that's correct.
The federal funds are separate. But we don't, right now, we don't know exactly what those federal funds are. I thought it had been reduced to something like 800,000. It was a really
a lot, yeah.
Much a big drop from what we had requested.
So I guess that goes, and that's why the start date, that's one of the reasons why the East Side couplet start date is pushed out, right? That and the lack of increment, lack of federal funding, lack of increment. So in terms, did you cover while I was gone the, you haven't done River District yet, right?
Nope. Okay.
Thanks, Bruce.
So we'll verify the numbers with PDOT on this, make sure this is correct. This is where we need to make those kind of changes,
yep,
to make sure we're not leaving a project high and dry, because we do want to move forward with that.
Anything else on the Central East Side?
Anything else Central East Side?
Okay. So let's go to Oregon Convention Center. Again, here's the breakdown of how property taxes flow. 5.4 go to PDC. That's a fixed amount. There's just under $2 million in special levy, and then the taxes released to other jurisdictions is creeping up towards $10.5 million and grows each year. This is the last 4 years of tax increment collection in that district. So now let's look at the projects and what's going on in the area. You know, the district was
Which
created.
Which one are we on right now?
What?
Convention Center?
Oregon Convention
okay.
Center. It was created in 1989. It's just under 600 acres. It can't issue any more debt after June 2013, so that date's rapidly coming up. Right now, the way you'll see in this budget about $14.5 million. You'll also notice as it anticipates, given the growth and given the amount of resources in the district, by the time it ends, we probably will not be able to reach maximum indebtedness, which means there's essentially money left on the table. And what we're estimating right now is that, you know, it could be 25, it could be $35 million. You know, this district goes, I didn't focus on the map that long, but it, you know, it's kind of bulb-shaped, and it includes, obviously, the Oregon Convention Center and the property around it, and then it continues north along MLK. So a lot of the things that we're looking at is, you know, the MLK Action Plan, the Grant Warehouse, there's affordable housing projects, there's a lot of, you know, commercial projects we're working on. The Miracle Club is in this district. There's Block 47 and 49 as you continue to travel south closer to the Convention Center, and you probably read an article a couple weeks ago where through the work of Sarah King and others, we've made a lot of progress with Schlesinger Development on a really exciting opportunity on some land that's basically been stuck in private hands for a long time. Not their hands, other hands. And we have some property in the game, too. So that could be very exciting. Council is going to have to make a decision on the headquarters hotel, probably, well, as soon as Metro makes some kind of a decision. But that's going to be coming up this summer. There would be plan amendments and those types of things that would have to be done for us to invest in that type of project if our board and council wanted to continue to push forward. And as I mentioned earlier, there's also a lot
of... Plan amendment for which project?
There needs to be a plan amendment for the Oregon Convention Center, which basically, and if I'm wrong, David, let me know, but basically allows us to invest in a publicly owned building. The plan amendment for Oregon Convention Center, would that be related to allowing us to invest funds in a publicly owned building?
Absolutely. That's okay. What we need to do. We need to include findings for the public
not
building.
Not geographic.
Oh, not a geographic.
Yeah, sorry, not a geographic one, just more of a use-oriented one. But our board, city council, in the next year or so is going to have to think about, again, how do we maintain the ability to invest resources along MLK, given that that corridor has seen great progress in the last few years, and we want to be able to capture that momentum. And with this district having kind of limited funds plus the combination of having the last date to use the credit card approaching, we're going to have to give some thought to that. So with that, are there any questions for any of the line items within this district?
Yes, I'd like to ask you a question about the Convention Center Hotel. It said you've got a little over... I'm going by this project right here, this sheet. That for the convention center, you've got, let's see, $4.1 million set aside.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
What does that do?
Mr. Mayor, that is the amount of money that we budgeted for some time, in addition to the value of the land to help underwrite the cost of that facility. So all in all, we've got about... I want to say it's about $10 million of land that we purchased that would be dedicated to the project, and this is TIF revenues that would then be going to make that project, help the project financing, and if the project didn't go, that money would not be utilized. Do I have it right, Sarah?
Yeah, I can be just a tad more specific. That $4.1 million, about $100,000 of that is to pay property taxes on the property. The remaining $4 million is for pre-development, specifically for pre-development activities to help Metro with schematic and construction drawings and perhaps for site demolition and other things that we need to do to the land to prepare it for construction.
And then the actual cost of the hotel itself.
I knew that question would come up. I'd like to get back with you. I've got a number in my head. I'm not certain that it's right, and I'd hate to do Metro miss a disservice by quoting the wrong number.
But that is our additional financial participation in that project. Yeah, I
mean, and so when is Metro scheduled to make some progress on this?
Yeah, right. They're scheduled this summer to make a decision. Probably July, August is what I believe the time is.
August.
Yeah.
They would finance this through bonds?
Well, that's part of the discussion they're working on, and it's a very complex right now.
Casino on the first floor?
Excuse me, get it?
Casino on the first floor, right?
And that makes it a lot simpler.
Well, actually, it would make it very simple. And
we had an offer.
The Native American communities will do that for free.
And supported that.
Only if you operate the casino.
I could be talked into that.
So to answer your question, Mayor.
Okay. It's not the answer, but...
We'll get you the total cost, yes. The latest estimate.
The latest estimate I saw was $244 million.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
And I was just wondering what portion of that they have allocated to Portland.
Can't answer that in terms of the plan, but all I know is I think you've been very clear that the monies that we had in here is our direct financial cash into the project.
Right.
That's the only cash we have in right now.
Okay. Okay, move on to the next district. How we deal with the next district?
Okay.
We're wearing them down.
Yeah, well, I've got the mug here.
Oh, you got the mug.
I stole it from you. The So the next district is North McAdam. This district was created back in 1999. Runs along the Willamette River, basically just south of the, a little bit north and south of the Markham and Ross Island bridges. In 07-08, it's receiving almost $7 million in tax increment for purposes of investment that generates increment. You'll notice over the last 4 or 5 years, the amount of resources we have has been fairly limited. And then recently in 07-08, there's been a jump, clearly because of projects being completed and increment coming online. So we're in a position to actually do some pretty exciting things down there. Since it's a fairly new district, the amount of credit card room remaining, the maximum indebtedness is still close to $225 million. There's about $18, $19 million available in the 07-08 budget. And so a number of the things that we're working on is, first of all, and we'll be briefing council over the course of this month on the Willamette River Greenway, and particularly the Central District, and what's going on with that project in terms of our investment and the completion and future phases. Future phases is something that's going to require some resources, clearly. We're looking at, you know, where there are appropriate sites for workforce housing, and we're really working hard on trying to find the affordable housing sites down there. And we've been working to try and purchase the Harbor Nato. There's Block 49, which is being contemplated, you know, for a veterans housing project. And we still, as we look at the housing, as we look at the greenway and the amenity piece for people that live and visit the area, we then also are stepping back and still realizing that it's still somewhat isolated, and getting in and out of it is something that's going to require a lot of money. And there's still just, you know, a few streets and entrance points, ingress, egress points, and we're going to need to do something about that as well. It's going to require federal resources, just like a lot of the money down there. And one of the things that PDC will be talking with, you know, ourselves and with council about is, as we move through the obligations tied to Amendment 8, that was called, to the in about 012 or 013 is when we're beginning to probably see some money that we're going to have a little bit more flexible. It's not going to be tied so much to amendments and to contracts. At the same time, when you look at the economy right now, and, you know, people had talked about, you know, certain areas are going to live and die based on the economy and the condo market, and North McAdam is one of those areas. And right now, with the economy going a little bit south, we're going to have to look at what really do we have available for resources, what can be done based upon, you know, once you get through what we're obligated to do, where do we want to take the resources that are available? Affordable housing? Is it parks? Is it, you know, the transportation pieces? Where's the federal money? How can the city get involved? So there are going to be some significant discussions on North McAdam and South Waterfront, you know, kind of over the next 12 to 24 months that are going to need to happen. Are there any questions on any of the line items in North McAdam?
To what degree are you happy with the cooperation between PDC and PDOT and intergovernmental relations around coming up with a plan to fund the various transportation access requirements that Keith mentioned?
Well, I'd say that the projects that we have funding for and that are actually moving forward have been very good. I think we've been working well with PDOT on the planning and what are, how we address any other needs, but how we attack those financially is yet really to been, you know, final. So I'd say what we're doing to date with the things that we have on the plate, the things we've done, we've been some amazing things done down here in the last few years. In terms of transportation investments, but as you point out, and you know, we have a lot more to do. But I think the cooperation coordination is just great. And I'd ask your folks to see what they think, but I think it's
from there, and they think it's very good. I just want to make sure. In terms of the, this is a young, relatively young neighborhood, and we're going into an economic slowdown. I'm curious whether there's been, what changes we can expect to see in terms of increment production and how that then sort of ripples on through our ability to complete public amenities beyond transportation. Do we need to update our financial forecasts and build out assumptions of this district?
Yeah, I would. Again, I think Eric Johansson may be here, but we've been working very closely with OMF to look at all of these districts, and we are monitoring that very closely, as you would imagine, because the commitments that were made in Amendment Number 8 really commit us through about 2011, 2012, and we still got to hit those targets to be able to generate the TIF to do what was called for in Amendment 8. So I think they're just looking at redoing those estimates right now, because there's a lot of pressure on some of the projects, and you've seen the cost pressure on projects. So we want to make sure that we don't overcommit the city, or if we want to try to commit further, we need to understand the financial risk, frankly, to the general fund of the city if we issue bonds and don't have that there. And the good news is on Amendment 8, we have the backstop from the developers to help out if the development doesn't occur as was planned through, you know, for the next few years.
And when will you have that sort of relook done?
I'll ask our chief financial officer to give us an update there. I think they've done a lot of work today.
So we have looked at Julie Cody, CFO of PDC. We have looked at all of the obligations that we have in Amendment 8 and Exhibit I to Amendment 8. There are some cost overruns that we've seen just because of project costs going up. And we are looking at, we're having a meeting on Friday with OMF to discuss that. Right now we're working under the city policy to allow us to borrow ahead of TIF, basically, for on our five-year forecast. So far up to this year, we have met our projections of the TIF generation from the projects that have already been built, but we are looking at, we've been meeting with the developers of many parcels down there, to see, given the slowdown, to see just how that might impact our projections. And that should be accomplished the next month or two.
Okay. And does the in your relook, I assume you're also going to be taking into account sort of OHSU's change in ambitions?
Yes.
There might be pluses for increment, there might be minuses. So that's part of your relook?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much.
So can you cover three URAs in 30 seconds?
Depends on what you say.
It's just shortly before 4 o'clock. And so this obviously is going to go into tomorrow.
Yeah.
So is there something that you want to wrap up with, or do you want to go to another URA and try to cover it?
Do we have any public testimony?
Yeah, I was going to talk about that.
Well, do we have it today or tomorrow?
Well, we invited people here today because we've never done this before, and we had no idea exactly what was going to happen. And in case we got through everything today, we didn't want to have a situation where decisions were going to be made without public testimony. So I think we should maybe hear some of that since people took
time out of their day. How many folks are here to testify? Could you hold your hands up again just to kind of get an idea what we're looking at?
Two.
Let's do
some
of that.
Two people.
Three.
Oh.
Three.
Okay.
No, two.
Let's do that. let's go to the public testimony,
yeah,
please. Thank you, folks. Do we have a sign-up sheet for the public testimony? There is no sign-up sheet? Okay, then I think there were only three people that testify, weren't there? Okay, would the three people who've raised their hands please come forward? Do you have a timer? How much time does PDC allot for budget testimony?
30 minutes each. Isn't that the way you do it?
I only have 12 pages, so.
Oh, good. Is there 3 minutes? Is what? Okay. Okay. I thought there was a third person. Would you? I don't blame you. Okay. 3 minutes. Let's begin by, when you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
My name is Coralie Potter, and I am the chair of the Lentz Town Center Urban Renewal Advisory Committee. I just wanted to get up here and state that the budget that we looked at this year, again, was taken in the context of the potential plan amendment. And so the line items that we have in there address aggressive redevelopment of town center acquisitions, items like that. Looking at the freeway land site, which is listed as the Johnson Creek Industrial Area Revitalization, and also supporting the affordable housing development and homeownership opportunities that move forward and sort of dovetail into potential opportunities that would be included in the plan amendment. So. Lentz right now has a lot of momentum. Our real focus is keeping that momentum going forward without any stuttering halts or like things that have happened in the past that sort of stop the process from moving forward at a rapid clip. We're really at a fulcrum right now, and we want to see that continue. So,
thank you. Did you say your name was Potter?
Yes, it
That's
is.
It's a very interesting name. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Doug Oblitz. I'm the managing partner of Sockeye Development here in Portland. I wanted to take just a few minutes today to talk about a project that Bruce Warner mentioned at the outset this afternoon, which is the proposal to bring a Uwajimaya Asian supermarket to the Old Town District along with mixed-income housing. Yeah. Since late last year, Sockeye has been working closely with PDC, with Uwajimaya, and with the property owner of the block known as Block 33. It's the Jack's Chinatown surface parking lot at the corner of 5th and Cooch. And we have been working with PDC on a master plan that includes a proposal for a $70 million mixed-use project at that location, which would include a 30,000-square-foot Uwajimaya Asian supermarket and 140 apartments along with underground parking. We feel that this is a project very similar to our previous efforts at Belmont Dairy in the Hollywood District and at Museum Place to bring a neighborhood changing project to the Old Town Chinatown area. We think this could be the catalytic project for economic development in Old Town Chinatown. It will bring a large regional attractor. It will support the other investments that have been made in the Old Town Chinatown area. And most importantly, it will serve as a key balance point for the ongoing public investments in shelters, very low-income housing, and social services in the area. And we think it's really critical that investment be made in this type of mixed-income and mixed-use project. The importance of urban renewal funds cannot be overstated, particularly in today's financial climate, where many of the traditional tools are disappearing daily. The tax credit market has gone in the tank, and tax-exempt financing is now more expensive than market rate, non-subsidized financing, and the flexibility and availability of urban renewal funds is really going to be critical to this project. In short, I'm here today to urge your support for the urban renewal budget, which you're going to look at tomorrow. For the Waterfront Urban Renewal District, which has an allocation of funds for this project. And we think without that investment, this project will not be possible. And in fact, we think that without the public investment, Asian businesses will continue to leave the area. And in a few years, the Chinatown District will be just a name and not a place. So thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. So when are we supposed to meet tomorrow?
2 p.m.
Okay. So at this stage, then, we're going to adjourn and reconvene at 2 p.m. tomorrow as the PDC Budget Committee.
Okay. Good. Thank you. We've got your questions. If you have other questions, don't hesitate to call any of us. And try to ask us that.